Log Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Deeper Truth presents... Yes, welcome to another edition of Stand in the Gap, where we celebrate our saint of the day, remember our priests, pray for our children, remember those who have gone before, and many other special features. Following this brief program note, our saint of the day is next.
And today we're going to remember Saint Francis Borgia. Now this was yesterday, but Blog Talk Radio, we couldn't get through yesterday because the phone lines were down in New York City. And so we couldn't get through all day until this morning. So today, Saint Francis Borgia. That's the saint of yesterday, but that's who we're going to be focusing on at this time. And so I checked this morning just to call the Blog Talk Radio, and I got something. I was like, wow. So I got immediately... up to go ahead and do this while I could. Now tomorrow's sneak peek will be Saint Pope John the 23rd. So I was planning on doing his, but I already had this set up for this morning, hoping that I could at least, hopefully they'd have their phone lines up. And so here we are. So tomorrow will be St. John the 23rd. And so today, at this time, our Stand in the Gap is with St. Francis Borgia. And I'm glad to have this back up online and everything. So we'll get to the story here in just a second here. Well, I'm hoping anyway. Maybe the system is just catching up with itself. Because it has been, it was down all day yesterday. But now I see it's finally catching up, I think. So this is Deeper Truth, Stand in the Gap with us and Saint Francis Borgia. So now here we go. Okay. Francis Borgia established a book of rules for the Jesuit order that ensured spiritual and intellectual formation and an apostolic character. He even was instrumental in the reestablishment of sacred music. Popes wanted to make him a cardinal, but his humility would not allow him to accept such a position. He died on September the 30th, 1572, and was beatified in Madrid on November 23rd, 1624, by Pope Gregory the 15th. He was canonized nearly 35 years later, on June 20th, 1670, by Pope Clement X. St. Francis Borgia is the patron saint of earthquakes. Wow. Hopefully he's consistent for California, huh? Yeah. After fighting in a battle between Assisi and Perugia, Francis was captured and imprisoned for ransom. He spent nearly a year in prison awaiting his father's payment, and according to legend, began receiving visions from God. He grew up in an important family in 16th century Spain, serving in the imperial court, and quickly advanced in his career. But a series of events, including the death of his beloved wife, made Francis of Borgia rethink his priorities. He gave up public life, gave away his possessions, and joined the new and little-known Society of Jesus. Religious life proved to be the right choice. Francis felt drawn to spend time in seclusion and prayer. But his administrative talent also made him a natural for other paths. He helped in the establishment of what is now the Gregorian University in Rome. Not long after his ordination, he served as political and spiritual advisor to the emperor. In Spain, he founded a dozen colleges. At 55, Francis was elected head of the Jesuits. He focused on the growth of the Society of Jesus. The spiritual preparation of its new members, and spreading the faith in many parts of Europe. He was responsible for the founding of Jesuit missions in Florida, Mexico, and Peru. Francis Borgia is often regarded as the second founder of the Jesuits. He died in 1572 and was canonized 100 years later. Sometimes the Lord reveals his will for us in stages. Many people hear a call in later life to serve in a different capacity, and we never know what the Lord has in store for us. And that's true. And this was the case. This is the story of St. Francis Borgia. And again, our sneak peek for tomorrow will be, well, actually today, our sneak peek for later today. I'll go ahead and maybe later tonight, maybe, to keep in line with our calendar, church calendar, will be St. John the 23rd. So I'll plan on doing this sneak peek later today to keep in sync with the church calendar. I want to try to stay with the church calendar as much as I can. Today, I couldn't help it because the phone lines was down in New York City and Blog Talk Radio could not receive phone calls. Sadly, neither could hospitals. I mean, I think it was the Verizon and T-Mobile, all of that. Everything went down. I don't know what happened. I don't know if people just didn't pay their bills or what. I have no idea about that. So all I know is that we were not able to get through yesterday. And I had people from all over the country attempting it, and nobody could, no matter where. So the systems was all down yesterday. There wasn't Block Talk Radio, but it was the phone lines in New York City that was down. So that's why we're playing catch-up now. We're playing catch-up here with the ball now on the 50-yard line, and we're wanting to score a touchdown here. So we will continue on with what we do on here. So we're very thankful that it's back up in order. I mean, I had my phone with me, and I just hoping that it was that they got this all resolved. And when I heard something back from Blog Talk Radio, like, "Hey, it's up and running," oh, I got excited real fast. So here I am, and so we will continue on with our presentation of that we do for Stand in the Gap, our Stand in the Gap presentation. And so I love our Stand in the Gap. You know, and Mike, he has his system down too, so he's out of the net. So he has done a wonderful job in presenting the Stand in the Gap with the background that he has. He's got so much, and it's so neat. It's so good to have Mike, but he's out for a while until he gets his system up. So until then, well, we'll just continue. We will continue. As much of what we're doing here now is prayer. And so now we're at our segment where we want to pray for priests, because that's a major, that's something that we focus on here and just Stand in the Gap. So here we are. We will begin with our prayer for priests.
It is time to pray for our priests, the real men in black.
Well, you wonder why I always dress in black, why you never see bright colors on my back, and why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on.
Without them, there are no sacraments. He counsels you. Who counsels him? He is on the front lines in the war against sin.
I wear it for another 100,000 who have died, believing that we all were on their side.
Now let us join together as we pray for our priests.
I'm the man in black.
And St. Vincent de Paul said, we must love our neighbor as being made in the image of God and as an object of his love. And he also gave this prayer for priests. Heavenly Father, grant that our priests be strengthened and healed by the power of the Eucharist they celebrate. May the word they proclaim give them courage and wisdom. We pray that all those whom they seek to serve may see in them the love and care of Jesus, our eternal high priest, who is Lord forever and ever. O Jesus, eternal high priest, live in our priests, act in them, speak in and through them. Think your thoughts in their mind, love through their heart. Give them your own dispositions and feelings. Teach, lead, and guide them always. Correct, enlighten, and expand their thoughts and behavior. Possess their soul. Take over their entire personality in life. Replace them with yourself. Incline them to constant adoration and thanksgiving. Pray in and through them. Let them live in you and keep them in this intimate union always. O Mary, Immaculate Conception, Mother of Jesus and Mother of Priests, pray and intercede for all our priests. Amen. And St. Francis says this. He said this. He said, the deeds you do may be the only sermon some persons will hear today. And that's good information right there. And we've always kind of said that. So St. Francis is right on the mark with that, for sure. So through our lives, we may be the only church that people may see out there, whether you're at Walmart or the grocery store or wherever you're at, by your example and your life. You might be the light that turns that light bulb on. You never know. So always be ready. And St. John Vianney, he's the patron saint of priests, and he said this, when you have made a good confession, you have chained up the devil. Now, that's coming from St. John Vianney, and that is very important right there. That's a great reason to go to confession, isn't it? Yes, it is. And St. John Vianney also said, if you invoke the Blessed Virgin Mary when you are tempted, she will come at once to your help, and Satan will leave you. Now, that is an outstanding reason to pray the rosary and the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And thank you, St. John Vianney, for your quotations there. So go to confession, go to Mass, and pray the rosary. And we intercede, we pray for Pope Francis and all the clergy around the world today. We pray for those. We pray for our shepherds. We pray that they will live up to their ordination, to their call, and respond to that call in faithfulness to you, O Lord. And now we pray for children.
It is time to pray for those who will carry the faith beyond our years, our
children. Children,
you'll have that responsibility children, soon enough, kids. But for now,
run and jump and play. young, carefree children,
and help them keep their childlike faith.
And the thing that's really sad is that we lose the faith we had when we were children. Loud, proud children.
Lord, you protect those who hope in you. All strength and holiness come from you. Help us to feel the effects of your mercy, so we may be protected from every misfortune with you as our guide. Lord, you prepared celestial and invisible graces for those who love you. Dear Lord, your word is filled with accounts of miraculous protection, and we claim that for vulnerable children. Make your little ones invisible to people who seek to exploit them. St. Joseph, watch over us and care for us just as you cared for the child Jesus. And by your help, may we come to know your Son and so grow in strength and wisdom and the favor of God. Amen. St. Joseph is the patron saint of the Universal Church. Families, fathers, expectant mothers, travelers, and through his love and care for Jesus and Mary, St. Joseph showed his love for God. O glorious St. Joseph, to you God committed the care of his only begotten Son amid the many dangers of this world. And we come to you and ask you to take under your special protection the children God has given us. Through holy baptism, they became children of God and members of his holy church. Oh, St. Joseph, do assist us by your powerful intercession and obtain for us from your divine Son all spiritual blessings through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that having experienced here your heavenly power, we may offer our thanksgiving and honor to the most loving fathers, along with Saint Sebastian, Saint Maria Goretti, Saint Daphna, Saint Philomena, Saint Gianna, Saint Christopher, Saint Michael the Archangel, Saint Raphael the Archangel, Saint Monica, and Saint Anthony. And then I will also add here Saint Francis Borgia and Saint Pope John the 23rd, which I think I will go ahead and focus there, because I do want to stay with the church calendar. In 1962, he was deeply involved in efforts to resolve the Cuban Missile Crisis. His most famous encyclicals were Mother and Teacher, 1961, and Peace on Earth, 1963. Pope John the 23rd enlarged the membership in the College of Cardinals and made it more international. In a surprise announcement in 1959, Pope John the 23rd called all the world's Catholic bishops and cardinals to Rome to discuss modernizing the church. The discussions led to the major changes in Catholicism, from allowing priests to say Mass in languages other than Latin to the recognition of other faiths. Blessed John the 23rd was the 260th successor of St. Peter, serving as Pope from October 1958 to June 1963. He is best known for convening the Second Vatican Council. Although few people had as great an impact on the 20th century as Pope John the 23rd, he avoided the limelight as much as possible. Indeed, one writer has noted that his ordinary seems like one of his most remarkable qualities. He was the firstborn son of a farming family near Bargemo in northern Italy. And he was always proud of the down-to-earth roots, his down-to-earth roots. And in the seminary, he joined the secular Franciscan order. After his ordination in 1904, he returned to Rome for canon law studies, and he soon worked as his bishop's secretary, church history teacher in the seminary, and as publisher of the diocesan paper. His service as stretcher bearer for the Italian army during World War I gave him a first-hand knowledge of war. In 1921, he was made national director in Italy of the Society for the Propagation of the Faith. He also found time to teach at the seminary in Rome. And so his most famous encyclicals were Mother and Teacher, 1961, and Peace on Earth, 1963. And Pope John the 23rd enlarged the membership of the cardinals. And so he criticized the prophets of doom. Yeah. In these modern times, see nothing but ruin. That's what he saw. And so he tried to bring life back into the church through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Pope John the 23rd set a tone for the council when he asked, "The church has always opposed errors. Nowadays, however, the spouse of Christ prefers to make use of the medicine of mercy rather than that of severity." On his deathbed, Pope John said, "It is not that the gospel has changed. It is that we have begun to understand it better. Those who have lived as long as I have were enabled to compare different cultures and traditions and know that the moment has come to discern the signs of the time, to seize the opportunity and to look far ahead." On 5 July 2013, Pope Francis, by passing the traditional required second miracle, declared John the 23rd a saint based on his virtuous model lifestyle and because of the good which had come from his opening of the Second Vatican Council. Good Pope John died on June 3rd, 1963, and Saint John Paul II beatified him in 2000, and Pope Francis canonized him in 2014. None of the body has decomposed. The high priest of St. Peter's Basilica, who oversaw the opening of the coffin in order to prepare removal of the tomb to a new space more accessible to pilgrims. So he is incorrupt. Wow. And throughout his life, Pope John the 23rd cooperated with God's grace, believing that the job at hand was worthy of his best efforts. His sense of God's providence made him the ideal person to promote a new dialogue with Protestant and Orthodox Christians, as well as with Jews and Muslims. In the sometimes noisy crypt of St. Peter's Basilica, many people become silent on seeing the simple tomb of Pope John the 23rd. Grateful for the gift of his life and holiness, After his beatification, his tomb was moved into the Basilica itself. And there, that is the story of St. John the 23rd. So you've got a two-for-one special today as far as our saints of the day. And so thank you, Lord, for the lives of these precious saints. And we pray for families. We pray for the children as well. Oh, yes. And so now we will move into our Stand in the Gap segment of this presentation of Saints Francis Borgia and St. John the 23rd. And thank you, Lord. As we do stand in the gap.
Prepare yourself. Gird up your loins with truth. If not us, who? If not now, when? Now is the time to what do you expect from a Catholic defender? Deeper truth.
And now we pray for those who have recently passed. And we pray for those that what's happening in Israel right now. We pray for those. And from what I understand, 14 Americans have been killed by Muslim terrorists. And war is becoming center stage there. So pray the Holy Rosary for those who have recently passed. Pray the glorious mysteries focusing on the resurrection and life after death. God our Father, your power brings us to birth. Your providence guides our lives. And by your command, we return to dust. Lord, those who die still live in your presence. Their lives change, but do not end. I pray and hope for my family, relatives, and friends, and for all those who have recently passed, known to you alone. In company with Christ who died and now lives, may they rejoice in your kingdom where all our tears are wiped away. Unite us together again in one family to sing your praise forever and ever. Amen. Revelation chapter 21 verse 4 says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen. And may Almighty God bless us with his peace and strength in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, please hear this prayer for those who have recently passed, and provide these souls with your abundance of love as they enter into heavenly kingdom. Help the families and loved ones left behind to understand that you have a plan for everyone. Help them to find peace in this time of mourning and to know that no matter what, you are always with them through this pain that they may be feeling today. Amen. Lord, I humbly ask you to hear this prayer for the souls who have recently passed. Please allow them to transition into your heavenly circle of hosts. Forgive any sins they have weighing on their soul. Excuse me. And allow them to bask in the light of your grace and mercy so that they can live with you in paradise forever. Amen. May the light of Jesus and the angels bring peace and salvation to my parents. May they rest in peace, knowing that their souls belong to God and God only. No demon, no devil, no principality, no evil spirit has access to their light and salvation. May Holy Mary, the angels, and all the saints welcome them now that they have gone forth from this life. May Christ, who was crucified for them, bring them freedom and peace. May Christ, who died for them, admit them into his garden of paradise. May Christ, the true shepherd, embrace them as one of his flock. May he forgive all their sins and set them among those he has chosen. Amen. And then, so we need to pray for what's happening in Israel right now and all that's happening there. War zone. Israel is being attacked by Hamas. And it was a peace rally that was taking place, and Hamas decided to attack the peace rally that fostered the peace. But these people, from the time they're children, are just taught to hate Jews. So it's Muslim Nazism. That's what it really is. So pray for what's happening in Israel and that peace would foster and take root in the lives of people who want peace and take it out of the hands of these warmongers. Hamas, take them out of the way so that the people can live in peace. And that's, we pray for those who have passed. And we pray for the prodigals. Lord, you said that you would leave the 99 to reach out to those who have gone astray. And so, Lord, we lift up the prodigals. Thank you for loving them even more than we do, for watching over them when we can't, and for working to draw them to yourself. We pray for our soldiers and veterans, and we pray for America. We pray for America, that we stand with Israel here. We pray for those who are in this conflict. We ask you to bless the members of our armed forces. Give them courage, hope, and strength. And may they ever experience your firm support, gentle love, and compassionate healing. Be their power and protector, leading them from darkness to light. And we pray for the prisoner, for those who are resident in prison and their families. May they be aware of your presence with them, and may your spirit bring them peace and the hope of new life in Jesus Christ. We pray for those in hospitals. We pray for those who have been diagnosed with every type of illness. For all those who are in the hospital, we pray for the hospital setting to be a place of healing and hope for those there. And we pray for the elderly, Lord. Lord, you promised to carry us even to our old age. We pray for a spiritual strengthening for those who find their bodies, are failing. We are spirit more than flesh. Lord, help our loved ones embrace this transition from flesh to spirit gracefully and with dignity. And for the poor souls in purgatory, eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my family. Pray for an end of abortion. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I love you very much, and I beg of you to spare the life of the unborn child whom I have spiritually adopted. And so, we do pray for the end of abortion and for peace.
This has been another edition of... Stand in the Gap, where we celebrate the saint of the day, remember our priests, pray for our children, remember those who have gone before, and many other special features. Be sure to catch our other programs like Journey with Mary with John Carpenter, who examines apparitions of Our Lady from 40 AD to the present. Eucharistic Miracles with Dr. Greg Thompson, who shares many Eucharistic miracles with a consecrated host, plus many other features right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
And now what I'm going to share here is very important. So lend your ear here. This occurred in Ohio. This occurred here in Ohio. It was Eucharistic Adoration. Outdoors, in town. There's a flash mob. It's beautiful, very beautiful. And thank you, Lord, for being among us. Yeah, and a crowd is assembling for what is about ready to be presented. And so it took a moment to get this in line, but they do, and this is beautiful. This is very beautiful.
Jesus Christ is in every book of the Bible. In Genesis, Jesus is the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is the priest, the altar, and the lamb of sacrifice. In Numbers, he is the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, Jesus is the prophet, like Moses. Come and kneel before him now. In Joshua, Jesus is the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he is our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he is our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he is our reigning king. In Ezra, he is the rebuilder of the broken down walls of human life. Come and kneel before him now. In Nehemiah, Jesus is our restorer. In Tobit, he is the messenger of the new life. In Judith, he is weakness turned into victory. In Esther, he is our advocate. In 1 and 2 Maccabees, he is the leader who dies for God's law. Come and kneel before him now. In Job, Jesus is our ever-loving Redeemer. In Psalms, He is our Shepherd. In Proverbs, He is our Wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, He is our Hope of Resurrection. In the Song of Songs, He is our loving Bridegroom. In Wisdom, He is the emanation of God's thought. In Ecclesiasticus, Jesus is our security. Come and kneel before Him now. In Isaiah, Jesus is the suffering servant. In Jeremiah, He is the righteous branch. In Lamentations, He is our weeping prophet. In Baruch, He is the mercy from the Eternal One. In Ezekiel, He is the one with the right to rule. In Daniel, Jesus is the fourth man in the fiery furnace. Come and kneel before Him now. In Hosea, Jesus is the faithful husband forever married to the sinner. In Joel, He is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit of fire. In Amos, He is the restorer of justice. In Obadiah, He is mighty to save. In Jonah, He is our great foreign missionary. In Micah, He is the feet of one who brings good news. Come and kneel before Him now. In Nahum, Jesus is our stronghold in the day of trouble. In Habakkuk, He is God, my Savior. In Zephaniah, He is the King of Israel. In Haggai, He is the signet ring. In Zechariah, He is our humble King riding on a colt. In Malachi, Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. Come and kneel before Him now. In Matthew, Jesus is God with us. In Mark, He is the Son of God. In Luke, He is the Son of Mary, feeling what you feel. In John, He is the bread of life. In Acts, Jesus is the Savior of the world. Come and kneel before Him now. In Romans, Jesus is the righteousness of God. In 1 Corinthians, He is the resurrection. In 2 Corinthians, He is the God of all comfort. In Galatians, He is your liberty. He sets you free. In Ephesians, Jesus is the head of the church. Come and kneel before Him now. In Philippians, Jesus is your joy. In Colossians, He is your completeness. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, He is your hope. In 1 Timothy, He is your faith. In 2 Timothy, Jesus is your stability. Come and kneel before Him now. In Titus, Jesus is truth. In Philemon, He is your benefactor. In Hebrews, He is your perfection. In James, He is the power behind your faith. In 1 Peter, He is your example. In 2 Peter, Jesus is your purity. Come and kneel before Him now. In 1 John, Jesus is your life. In 2 John, He is your pattern. In 3 John, He is your motivation. In Jude, He is the foundation of your faith. In Revelation, Jesus is your coming King. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is the keeper of creation and the creator of all. He is the architect of the universe and the manager of all time. He always was, He always is, He always will be, unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, and never undone. He was bruised and brought healing. He was pierced and eased pain. He was persecuted and brought freedom. He was dead and brought life. He is risen and brings power. He reigns and brings peace. The world can't understand Him. The armies can't defeat Him. Schools can't explain Him, and the leaders can't ignore Him. Herod couldn't kill Him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse Him. The people couldn't hold Him. Nero couldn't crush Him. Hitler couldn't silence Him. The New Age can't replace Him. And the mainstream media can't explain Him away. He is life, love, longevity, and Lord. He is goodness, kindness, gentleness, and God. He is holy, righteous, mighty, powerful, and pure. His ways are right, His words eternal, His rules unchanging, and His mind is on me. He is my Redeemer. He is my Savior. He is my God. He is my priest. He is my joy. He is my comfort. He is my Lord. And He rules my life.
Now just consider this right here, the miracle that we just observed here. Because in the beginning of this presentation, there was all this happening in the crowd. This happened in an open, this was in a like a main shopping outdoors. And you could hear the people, every day, going on with everything. And they brought Jesus to the street. In the monstrance, and they, and that whole, everybody, the people there, their attention was got by this presentation, and it changed. You can see the change here, and what amazing miracle I just observed here myself. And so, this is taking our faith back to the street. And that was beautiful. So I'll end it with this.